Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, this is Lewis Fine, and as always, we have a great show for you today with Kevin Guz from Homevestors Dallas. Kevin's going to be talking about an issue that every part-time or full-time real estate investor has asked him or herself at some point, which is, I want to invest in real estate. Now what? Now what do you do? Now where do you go? What is the process? How much money is involved? What properties do you look at? What properties do you buy? What properties do you invest in? All of these questions come back to that same question, now what? And Kevin is going to address that. So let me bring him on the program right now. Kevin, welcome.
Hi, Lewis.
Hi. So let's, as we always do, dive into this because this is a big one. People want to invest in real estate. We know that. But we also know that they have that question, now what? What do I do? How do I go about this? Walk us through this.
And you hit it on the head, first and foremost, Lewis. There are so many questions that are running through a new part-time investor's mind, and you rattled off so many of them. And it can be very overwhelming. And you know, today we won't be able to answer them all, and there's no silver bullet or one simple answer, but there is a framework that you can follow just to help you navigate, build your plan on how you're going to enter into the world of part-time real estate investing. And so we'll lay out a framework, and it'll be simple, and it'll be one that you can customize. Based on your objectives as a soon-to-be part-time real estate investor. And, you know, for many part-time real estate investors, the reason you have so many questions in your mind is you're probably at the point where you've educated yourself to a certain degree. You've bought books, you've gone to seminars, you've talked to investors, you've maybe even gone through some training, you've listened to podcasts. There's a variety of different things you've probably done that have piqued your interest and gotten you to this point where you've convinced yourself that it's time and you're ready. But as a result of all that exposure and education, you're probably overwhelmed, as we've alluded to already. And that's what creates the confusion. Gosh, now what do I do? Where do I go? How do I start? And these are all the questions that I get so frequently as I talk to new or potential investors. You know, how do I get started, first of all? Easiest way to get started. And perhaps, hey, I'm ready to get started, but I have no money. I have no credit. You know, how do I begin? Well, let's try to answer some of those questions and give you a framework that will apply to whatever scenario you might find yourself in as a soon-to-be or a potential part-time real estate investor. And as we walk through this framework, keep a couple guiding principles in mind. The sequence of what I lay out, it can vary based on your situation, your priorities, your resources. It's very fluid, and it can vary depending on what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, and what you're able to do. So keep that in mind. Through this framework, these are not necessarily exclusive steps, meaning complete step one, check the box, move to step two. Though you can approach it in that way, the other way is that these can also be considered cumulative. Like, you can prove yourself proficient and comfortable in the first step of the framework, and then you can add the next step and, you know, build your business, your real estate investing business, as you navigate through this framework. So you can approach it either way, as mutually exclusive steps or more cumulative in a more building fashion. And then finally, with real estate investing and with your entry into real estate investing, you've got to understand and appreciate and be prepared that you've got to have a very fluid and nimble approach, meaning every market is going to be different. Every real estate investor's capabilities are going to be different, and their resources and their situation and their objectives. And that's where the fluidity comes into play, that you've got to be willing and able, and you've got to recognize the fact that one size will not fit all, and every real estate investor is going to approach their business in a slightly different way based on their own personal situation. So accept that fact and be prepared to be fluid, because the nature of real estate investing will require you to be nimble and react to your own situation or situations that come at you that you're not necessarily expecting or planning for, like changes in the market condition. So with that being said, let's lay out a framework. And this is a framework that I have seen and I have experienced, time real estate investor and home investor franchisee here in Dallas. And I've navigated myself through this framework, and I've seen other successful investors also navigate their businesses through this framework as they started investing and ultimately built their investing business. And first off, most people or most investors or many investors begin with assignments. And assignments are very simply where you as an investor will place a property under contract, and then you will find a buyer for that property before you actually close on that property, and you will simply assign your contract to that end buyer for a fee paid to you by that end buyer. And the reason a lot of investors start with assignments is it requires no capital. And this gets to our point earlier of, hey, I have no money, I have no credit, how do I get started? Assignments are a great way to do that. You're simply placing properties under contract, but your end buyer that you assign the contract to ultimately purchases the property and does the capital outlay. So you incur no cost at all in this scenario. That's the good news. Keep in mind, though, you've got to have access to some distressed sellers, because you've got to buy these or get these properties under contract deep enough that you're going to be able to have a contract on a property that's appealing to another investor who will agree to have you assign that contract to them. And those type properties, they're not everywhere. They're not easy to find. So you've got to have a good source of finding those properties. And then on the backside, you've got to have a good buyer's network. You know, you're not going to assign properties to owner-occupants. You're going to assign properties and contracts to investors. So you've got to have a good buyer's network of investors who are interested and willing to take assignments of contracts. All in all, assignments, very low risk, because if it doesn't work out, if you can't find a buyer, you simply terminate your contract and walk away. No penalties, nothing illegal there. So the risk is very low to you. Number two, then comes wholesaling. And wholesaling is kind of the next logical step. And the big difference between wholesaling and assignments is with wholesaling, you're actually going to purchase the property. You're going to have the funds in some form to actually purchase and close the property. And then you're going to turn around and sell that property. And because it's a wholesale deal, you're probably selling that to another investor at a wholesale price. And then that investor will go on to rehab the property and sell it, or rehab the property and rent it. But you're selling it typically off market at a wholesale, typically at a cash price. And the reason you would do this versus, hey, why don't I just assign it, is you typically can enjoy a greater margin when you wholesale a property. The difference between the price you purchase it and the price you sell it is typically going to be greater than the fee you would charge or earn on an assignment. So that's the good news with wholesaling. Keep in mind, though, this does require capital. And once again, you're going to need a source for these properties. They're not listed on MLS typically, so you've got to have some direct seller access, and you've got to have an investor network too that you can market the property to. But the good news, or the big point, is you start to see a greater margin of profit versus assignments. And then as you navigate yourself through assignments and through wholesaling, you're probably going to get to the point where you're ready to rehab properties. And that's the third step in this framework. This is where you're going to really start to maximize your returns. You're going to buy distressed assets, you're going to invest in them and fix them up, and then you're going to sell them, typically on MLS, to owner-occupants. This is where you're going to get a much greater profit margin than assignments or even wholesales. Keep in mind, though, there's capital required here, much like with wholesales, but it's going to require even more capital because you're going to need money to invest in the rehab of that property. And despite what may appear on home flipping shows you see on TV, be cautious and do not underestimate the amount of time and experience and risk that's involved in rehabbing properties. You've got to have some knowledge. You've got to have a network of contractors. And you've got to have some experience. And you have to have some tolerance for risk and the unknowns, because they will occur. And that's just the nature of rehabbing. So the key point with rehabbing is you're going to earn more and you're going to maximize your margins, but be prepared for the time, the experience, the capital, and the risk that is involved with rehabbing. That's why it's a little farther down the framework. After you become competent in assignments, you become competent in wholesaling, you'll be better prepared to take on the complexities of rehabbing, or as some may call them. And then the final component to this framework, or the next component, is rentals. And I will tell you with a big caveat, rentals can be a part of your business at the beginning, the middle, or the end. I've saved until the end here because a lot of times people will do assignments, wholesales, and ultimately rehabs. They'll accumulate profits, and they'll set those aside so that they can purchase rentals. And unlike the other three components of your framework, assignments, wholesales, and rehabs, those are generating cash profits. Your rentals, they're more of your wealth-building component, and they'll create the passive income, unlike the other three components that create more of the active income. But keep in mind, rentals will require capital, and they're going to tie up that capital for a long time. You're going to put 20% down traditionally, and you may even do 20% down on the rehab expenses. And you're not going to sell this rental next month and get all of that back. You know, these are going to be long-term holds. That capital may be tied up in those resources for many years until you either sell it or perhaps refinance it and pull that capital back out. But keep in mind, rentals, and it's probably one of the bigger challenges with rentals, is the fact that they do require capital initially, and they do tie up capital for the long term. So, all in all, as we talked, keep in mind, this framework is exactly that. It's a framework. Look at these four components: assignments, wholesales, rehabs, and rentals. Look at your own experience, your own capital, your own time, your access to sellers, your access to buyers, and determine how this framework best fits your situation, your objectives, your knowledge, and your experience. And beyond this, there's a lot of other things you can do that we'll talk about in the future, but the key is you get started, and you get started with this framework and begin your real estate investing business.
These are all very important points. They're logical points, and they're described in a very methodical way to guide the listener through what he or she should do next, because in answering that question, now what, you now know how to go about this process. It's very important, and you've been very comprehensive and thorough in describing it. Kevin, as always, a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Lewis.